In the previous video, I showed you how to set up and configure reporting services, and then I demonstrated how to create reports using the Report Wizard. And that's fine if you want quick results, but if you want to create more complex or more detailed reports, you're going to have to learn the techniques required to customize or build reports from scratch. So I'll be covering a wide range of topics in this video that deal with customizing the appearance and the format of your reports. And at the very end of the video, I'll show you how to embed reports within your ASP.NET applications. It might be the easiest thing that you do all day. So I'm going to use the project that we created in the previous video, and what I want to do is add a new report. I'm going to demonstrate how to create a very simple report from scratch without using the Report Wizard. So I'm going to add a new item, and I'm going to select Report, not Report Wizard this time. And we'll call this just simple. And click Add. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to have to do is define the data set ourselves. So I'm going to click the combo box and select a new data set. And we can give the data set a name. We'll call this simple. We'll choose the data source. We have a shared data source, so we'll continue to use that one. And we can either select a stored procedure to retrieve our data, or we can select text. And I've already got a query on the keyboard. This is something that we used from the previous video. Let me change up a little bit about it here. And we can even set the timeout, how long we should allow this to run before it just times out. And for now, that's the only thing that we're going to set. We'll click OK, and we'll test our query to make sure it brings back some data. Excellent. Now we'll go to the Layout tab, and we are going to go to the Toolbox and pin this down for a moment. And we'll just, first of all, actually, let's go back to our Data Sets window, and let's just pull out a single piece of information. For example, let's pull out the total due onto our surface here, and let's preview it, and notice that it brings back a value, but unfortunately this isn't what we were expecting. We want to see a list of all of the total due values, not just a summary of one value. So although we can drag and drop values out into the body of our report layout, that's not the desired behavior in this case. What we need to do instead is drag and drop a table into the body. And you can see here that we have a header row, a detail row, and a footer row. And we're going to expand this in an example in just a few moments on how to add groups. But this will work for now. And we can resize these columns and then also just start dropping data into these columns. So, for example, let's go back to our data sets. And we'll drag in an order date. And notice when I do that, it automatically gives us a header value. We'll take the subtotal and then the total due. Just dragging and dropping them into the detail area of our report, and then let's preview it. And now we have a very simple report. And we built that report from scratch. Let's look at some more advanced functionality. Let's go back to the Data tab, sub-tab, and we're going to parameterize this query so that we're not hard-coding it just for one day. So we'll put start date. Notice that I use a convention that's similar to input parameters for stored procedures, and then end date as well. And now whenever we attempt to run this to test our query, we're going to get a Define Query Parameters dialog where we can specify the date. Now, alternatively, we can select a null or blank date just to test those values out, but we'll want to type in, we'll go from 8/1/2001 to 9/1/2001 and see what our results are. Okay, and this time we do get results. And it's quite a large result set. You can see some of the due dates go out to quite a bit in the future. So now let's take a look at what that does to our preview. And we'll have to adjust some things. Notice that we have in the preview space where we can type in the input parameters for our report. Now we can hide those or show those using this show or hide parameter area, but we'll want to define those. So 8/1/2001, and we'll just go to 8/15/2001 and click view report, and now we just get the report for those days, 4 pages long. We can scroll through that. And at this point, if we were to deploy our reports, let's go ahead and deploy these out. Give it a moment here. Seems like it worked successfully. Okay, great. And let's see what happens whenever our users will view this report. Our new simple report. Notice that they too will see this area where they can type in their parameters. So we might go 7/15/2001 to 8/1/2001 and click view report. And within a few moments we'll get that report back. So again, very neat. We're able to enable this functionality. Just think how long it would take for us if we had to build this using ASP.NET or some other type of web-based technology. Once we get proficient in the creation of these reports, we can start spewing out reports that are very flexible, that are in this case parameterized, in just a few moments. Okay, so let's keep playing with this report and see what else we can do with it. And one of the things that we could do at this point is make the report look a little bit more attractive. We talked about this in the previous video, how we could select a given cell and then change the background color. In this case, we could change it from transparent to perhaps something in the blue family of colors, and change the font, the style, the size, the weight, and things of that nature to really make the report look a little bit more attractive. Also, we'll want to put a header and a footer on every page of the report. So at the header, we might want to just say what the report is. So if you're on page 6, you'll still know what the title of the report is. And then at the very bottom, maybe we'll give them the page number. So to do this, I'm going to go to this kind of manila-looking color. It might be washed out in the video, but it's kind of a light yellow color, and select the page header. So now we can see a page header area, and we can also do the same thing for page footer. So now we're able to see the header and footer for each of the pages. And the first thing I'll do is go to the toolbox and drag out a text box. And this text box area is both something that we can type static text into. So this is the name of the report. And we can also do something with the text box that's a little bit more programmatic. So we can take the name of the report that's saved in a variable and place it in here through the use of expressions. So in this text box, let's right-click it inside of it and select expression. We get the expression editor. And for example, perhaps we'll go to the globals and select the report name. And when I double click it, it appears here. And so it uses a VBScript style syntax to reference the global object's report name property. And we'll just we'll paste that in. Whoops, didn't mean to do that. Let's just click OK. There we go. And so you can see that it imports it here. Before we actually preview our report, let's change up our data store so we don't have to type in the start date and end date every time. So let's just paste back in the original criteria we had for our where clause and test to make sure that works. And then go back to the layout. And I'm going to right click inside here, inside of kind of that yellow area again, and select report parameters. And I'm going to remove the two parameters. If we don't do this, then we'll continue to get it to be asked for those parameters. So now that we've made that change, let's go ahead and preview the report. And you'll notice that the word simple, the name of our report, appears here. This is the dynamic text that we created through the expression editor. And then also this other text box that says this is the name of the report. You can also see we have some formatting. And as you can also see, the parameter area has been hidden and we no longer are asked to put parameters in. That's great. So now let's go to the footer section. Let's make a little room for ourselves here. pull this down, and we'll do something similar where we'll use a text box and we'll create a more complicated expression this time. And I'm just going to paste in an expression that I created a little bit earlier that will take the page number. So I'm looking here at the globals. You can see that we have a variable called page number and a variable called total pages. And so formatted those to be strings and concatenated those together with some strings of and pages. And now whenever we run our report, you can see at the very bottom of every page, one of two pages, and then two of two pages. Okay, so using the expression editor, you can actually get some pretty complicated expressions that not only involve some of these global values, but also fields from our data sets, and then also we can combine those with various arithmetic and string and date math and aggregation financial functions as well. And this kind of reminds me of working with Excel's expression editor as well. On a bit of a lighter note, I'm going to use a line object to kind of differentiate this part of my footer from the rest of the page. So I get a nice line. And there are other objects along those lines, like images, for example. Let's go ahead and put an image at the very beginning of our report. And when I drag and drop the image control from the toolbox onto the designer surface, we get this Welcome to the Image Wizard. It simply asks if we want to embed the image within the report, or if we want to store it in a database or put it out on the web through and access it through URL. I'm just going to go ahead and embed it for now. I'm going to select a new image, and I happen to have in my documents an AdventureWorks logo. So I'll click OK and select Next, and then click Finish. And now we have AdventureWorks, little AdventureWorks logo here. And let's move the body of our report down a little bit as well. Whoops. Try to get this to look aesthetically correct. And then we'll take another text box, put it on our form here. And we might put something like our simple sales report. We can select a larger font size, something maybe like a 16, and we can make it look really nice. And also let's put a line here as well right above the data. Okay, and save it. And we can spend all day kind of tweaking our report and seeing what it would look like. But that's pretty stinking neat. The other thing that we want to do on the first page of the report is suppress the header and footer so that it looks correct. So it's really easy to do that as well. Let's go back to the layout here. And let's bring the properties window into view. And let's select the page header. And there's a property called print on first page and print on last page. They're both set to true. I'm going to set the print on first page to false. I'll do the same thing with the footer. See if I can find it here in the list. Oh, here, page footer. And we'll set print on first page to false as well. So now, when I preview, you see it doesn't appear on the first page. But if I go to the second page, I can see both the header we've defined as well as the footer. Let's make two small additions to this report, and then we'll try something else. Let's go back to data sets, and I want to get the sum of total due at the very bottom of this report. So I'm going to drag and drop total due into the footer of my table, and notice that it's smart enough to know that I want an aggregation of all the values that were previous to it, so sum of the fields. And let's maybe drag this out a little bit more. of TotalDo.value. And let's also do this. Let's create some more room for ourselves here. Let's try to move this down if I can get a hold of it. There we go. And maybe I want that value also here right underneath the simple sales report. So what I might do in that case is drag another text box out. And there's probably a couple different ways to do this, but I want to go to the expression editor again, and I'm going to type in another expression. So in this case, I want to do format, then I'm going to get the sum, and notice I even get IntelliSense in here. That's pretty neat. Fields, and the field that we want is the total do. We're going to grab its value property, and then I'm going to use these Visual Basic formatting strings. So like if I do C0, that'll give me currency with no decimal places. So let's go ahead and, if I type this up correctly, yeah, that looks good. And let's see what it looks like whenever we attempt to preview it. And you can see here that I can see for the date range specified, the total sales was 2,077,800 and something. And then if I go to the very end of this report and look at the very bottom, notice that I also get that same number here in the footer of my table. Okay? So very neat. Okay, so let's ratchet up the complexity just a little bit. In the previous video, we took a look at creating a matrix report, and we did this purely from the report wizard. But what if we wanted to create this on our own without using the report wizard? Well, we certainly could do that. So let's go, and select add new item. We'll want to make sure this is a report. We're going to call this just matrix.rdl. We're going to need to specify a new data set. And for simplicity's sake, I'm going to use the same query string that I used in that other report, just because I know that it has the data that I want to view. And I'm going to click OK here and test it to make sure we get good data. Great. Now let's go to the layout page, and I'll go to the toolbox and drag a matrix control onto the body. And I'll go to my data sets window and let's go ahead and pin that down for a moment. Okay, so to kind of replicate what we did, I'm going to take the order year and drag it up to the end of the column, and then underneath of it I'm going to drag the subcategory. So I kind of got to get this where I can see where my cursor is going to place it directly underneath of it, and you can see it created a second kind of row for me for in that column. Then the same thing will be true for the product category. I'll drag it into the open row field, and then the subcategory I'm going to try and place it after that. So you can see I get that little after cell. I've got to kind of play with it until I get just correct, and it dropped in nicely. Excellent. And then we're going to drag and drop the sales, and you can see it's smart enough again to understand that it might need to summarize some things in there. Okay, so at this point we should have something that is previewable. Now the unfortunate fact of the matter is that the report wizard did a lot for us. It formatted it nicely for one thing. It also added in the little collapsible areas, which we don't have. So let's add those in ourselves. Let's go back to the layout, and then I'm going to select the subcategory because I want that to be collapsible. I'm going to right-click it, and I'm going to select Edit Group. And then I'm going to go to the Visibility tab for this group, and I'm going to select the initial visibility should be hidden, but the visibility can be toggled by another report item. Which report item should be able to trigger that? Well, the product category, the one that was above it, so to speak. Okay, so now let's save this and preview, and notice this time that we have the little collapsible areas. So great. Let's go back and do it then for our, I think I dragged the wrong item in here. Let's go ahead and pull that out and drag in quarter instead. This would make a little bit more sense. There we go. And we'll right click and select edit group and go to visibility, hidden, toggle, order year. Okay. Save it, preview it, and now we get the quarters as well. And we could spend the time that it would take to format this and make it look as nice as what we did previously, but we're not going to take the time to do that just now. But could you imagine trying to do something like this using ASP.NET or PHP or some other technology? It would take quite a long time. So this is beautiful. It allows us to put together these very interactive and very informative reports. I just can't get over that. It's just really neat. Okay, so let's continue on. Now I'm going to demonstrate how to create a report that you can sort on. And so we'll select Add New Item, Report, and we'll call this Sort. Create a new data set, and I'm going to paste in that long query that we've been using. Select OK, test it to make sure it works. Excellent. I'm going to go to Layout, and I'm going to drag and drop a table onto our design surface, and then within our data set, I'm going to select product category, the subcategory, and the sales as well. And so what I'll want to be able to enable is the sorting by the product category. So what I'll do is go into this text field for the header, and I'm going to right-click inside here and select properties. Go to the interactive sort tab on the text box properties and click add an interactive sort action to this text box, and I'll want to select a sort expression. I'm going to select that we're going to sort by the product category value. Now we could open up the expression editor here and create some very complex sorting expression. We're not going to do that right now. Make it very simple on ourselves. We're going to save this and let's preview it to make sure that it works. And now, as you can see, we get these little up and down arrows, and so I can sort based on the product category. We could do the same thing for the subcategory. Right click, select properties, go to the interactive sort tab, click add an interactive sort action, and we're going to click the subcategory to sort on this time and preview it. And you can see now we can sort by the subcategory. Now if you need a report that is somewhere between the matrix report that we saw with all of its neat roll-up functionality, but maybe not quite that complicated, maybe more along the lines of the simple report that we put together that just is kind of a very one-level report, we might want something in between that. And so I'll show you how to group things together. So to do that, I'm going to right-click and select Add New Item, Report from the template. We're going to call this group.rdl. Actually, let's do this. Let's go to the Report Wizard and take a look at, let's do rw underscore group, take a look at what the Report Wizard can do for us in this regard. We kind of glossed over this whenever we were working with it in the previous lesson, and then we'll try to come back and create it from scratch on our own. So let's just click through here. Let's paste in the query that we've been working with. We're going to select tabular, and on this design the table, up to this point we've only been using the detail area. Let's use a group area. So let's put, for example, the product category and subcategory there, and then place the, let's see how we want to do this. Let's go ahead and put the year, quarter, and sales date there. Okay. And it asks us the type of report that we want to create, whether a stepped view, and you can see kind of a preview what it would look like here, where we have the product category in the leftmost column, then the subcategory in the next column, and then all the details below that. And we can also include subtotals and drill down. Very neat. the option here would be to set it to blocked. I'm not as crazy about that particular format, but that's definitely an option for you. So let's continue on. We can select the style. Let's use the default. RW group sounds great. We'll click finish, and now let's preview what this looks like. Okay, so again, somewhere between the tabular view and the matrix view, where we can roll things up and then also see some grouping on a higher level, drilling down, looking at quarters 3 and 4 and see how they roll up to the subtotal there, looking at the subtotal for all accessories across all quarters. So that's very neat. So how do you do this on your own without using the report wizard? Okay, so let's close that down and create another report. And I'll select add new item, report. We'll just call this group, select add. We'll have to create a new data set. We'll paste in the query we've been using. Click OK. Let's move this over a little bit and test it. Make sure we've got some data. Great. Okay. So the next thing we want to do is go to the layout, and we're going to drag and drop a table onto the design surface. And we'll go to the data sets window, and we'll just take the sales. So let's do this. We'll make this a little less complicated by only using the sales values. Well, let's go ahead and put the quarter and year in here too. Okay. Okay, so if we were to preview this, it's kind of the report that we've been seeing up to this point, very flat, but we want to add some grouping to it. So in order to accomplish that, we're going to right-click on the leftmost column and select Insert Group. We're going to create two groups. The first group will be a grouping on the product category. So we're going to group on an expression, and that expression will be Fields Product Category, and we'll select just OK. And we're going to drag and drop the name of the product category into our group so that it'll be displayed. So let's see what we see now when we do this. So we get the word components here, and we can see that we get a bunch of data, but it's still not quite right because we're seeing duplicate data for like quarter 4, 2002. The reason is because the shape of the query that we brought back also has this qualifier of a subcategory. So to get that grouping correct, we're going to right-click and select to insert another group, and this time the group will be on subcategory, and its parent group will be product category. Let's go ahead and click OK there, and we'll drag and drop the subcategory here and then preview that, and you can see this a little bit better now. Components, forks, wheels, mount frames, it's broken down more correctly. Let's continue to work with this. What we'll want to do is see kind of roll-up values and for the sales. So to do that, I'm going to drag and drop sales so we get a roll-up value for the subcategory. So let's preview that. Now if you look on the same line as forks, you can see that there's a sales value over here, which is a sum of all the quarters together. And the same could be done with the category as a whole by dragging and dropping into this field and then previewing. And you can see now we have the total roll-up value for all components across all quarters. Okay. Now, the one thing that we didn't have was the little expand and collapse areas. And we've already shown how to do this. Let me see if I can get it working just real quickly by right-clicking, selecting Properties, going to Visibility, selecting Hidden, and we'll select that the visibility can be toggled by another report item. With any luck, yeah, there it is, Product Category. Okay. And we might even do the same here as well. So let's right click and go to visibility, hidden. Visibility can be toggled by, let's see, the subcategory. Let's see if this works. Okay, so you can see that I can expand and collapse forks. Alright, I would have to do this for all the values. You can see that I'm only really collapsing and expanding the dates here, so that didn't quite work as planned, but you get the idea of how this would work if we were to put this all together. So I'm going to go ahead and stop working on that report and continue on from there. Because while grouping is nice, what everybody really wants to see is the charting features. So let's right-click and select new item. We're going to create a report called chart and select add. And of course we'll have to create a new data set. We've been through these steps a number of times. Okay, great. So now let's go to the toolbox and drag and drop a chart onto our designer surface. And let's make a little room for ourselves here. And let's kind of drag our control around and move it in the right position. We could even resize it here if we want to. But ultimately, what we're asked to do here is to drag and drop some fields. The data fields will go there, so we would want to put our sales data. We would drag and drop our series data here, so that might be something like our dates and quarters, and then we'll drag and drop the categories there. So let's go to our data set and see if we can get this to work. So we're going to drag and drop sales into this area. We'll drag order year into our series fields. So now you can see that we'll have year probably 2001, 2002, and 2003. And then we'll take our product categories and drop them here. Now that's all we've done. Let's see what we come up with if we were to try to preview this application. Whoops. Let's save this and then preview that. Okay. So a very simple chart for each of our product categories. It gives us the sales for 2002 and 2003. Let's try to refine this, and let's also use the quarter, and let's see how that affects what we see. Okay, so there are some limitations here. Perhaps if we tried one more thing. Nope, it's not going to take it. Okay. Then let's try this. Get rid of the year and get rid of the product category just for fun. And it took that. Okay, so very good. As you can see, it's very small. We'd have to blow this out a little bit more, but it's separated by quarter and then by subcategory. Okay, if you didn't like the way that this looked, what you can do is right-click and select chart type, where we get lots of different types of charts. Even exploded pie charts. So let's go ahead and put the, just because there will be different data in here, I'm going to select order quarter and just hit the delete key on my keyboard. Same would be true with subcategory. I'll just drag and drop category. This will make it a little less cluttered. And let's preview that. Okay. So we might want to pull this out a little bit more. Give it more space to work. And that seems to work a little bit better. You can also go to the properties dialog for the chart and modify the name, the color palettes that we want to use, the stylings of the borders and the fill colors if we want to get that specific. We can set the data here instead of dragging and dropping it as I demonstrated. We can adjust the legend, where it should be displayed, whether we want a 3D effect or not, that's kind of neat, and other information like filters and so on. Okay, so let's go ahead and save this, and we'll demonstrate one final technique that we can use to link our reports together. So let's go back to our matrix report that we created. And what we'll want to do on this report is add a text box, and what we'll type in here is view pie chart for this data. All right, and then I'm going to right click and select properties and select the navigation tab, and then what we'll do is select to hyperlink action to jump to a report. And in this case, we're going to select our chart report. Now, when we preview this report, I can click on View Pie Chart for this data, and it will hyperlink us to our chart. Alternatively, you can see that we can add other types of hyperlinks as well, or links rather. You can jump to a bookmark on a given page, or jump to a URL somewhere out in the internet. You could use the bookmark ID on a given report section to define a bookmark and then allow others to jump to it from the same report or from different reports. Okay, so we covered a lot of ground about creating custom reports and using a lot of the tools in the toolbox, and showed a lot of different techniques for creating reports. The last thing that we're going to demonstrate in this video is how to integrate the reports that we created into an ASP.NET web form application. So let's go ahead and save everything we've done. In fact, let's deploy everything we've done out since we've got it all working. And now if we were to go to Report Manager and go back to Bob's reports, we'd be able to see quite a few new reports here. For example, let's take a look at our chart. But what if we wanted to integrate this chart into our application and not force our user to come through the Report Manager? So let's go ahead and show you how to do that. I'm going to shut everything down. And the first thing that we're going to need to do is download the add-in for Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition that allow us to work with the reporting control. So we're going to go back to the msdn.microsoft.com/express, and that will redirect us to the correct site. And then once you're here, go to Visual Web Developer Download. If you scroll down to the very bottom of that page, you'll see a download add-in section, and there's a reporting add-in for Visual Web Developer 2005 Express. So download that file to your local hard drive. I've already taken the liberty of doing that, so let's go ahead and go to my downloads folder, and we will install the SQL Server 2005 report add-in.msi. And I've already actually gone through the steps here. It's very easy to do. Just follow and take all the defaults. Now that I've got it set up on my local machine, we're going to run Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition. And I'm going to create a new website, and we'll just call it Report Viewer. And since I installed that new MSI, you should see in the data section of your toolbox a report viewer control. We're just going to drag and drop that onto our designer surface. The little quick tasks menu pops open where we can choose a report. Let's choose the server. And then from that server, we can choose the report path. So here we'll put slash Bob's reports slash chart. And we'll save this and run the application. And after a second or two, you can see that we have our default.aspx page with our report viewer control with our chart.rdl file loaded in. And we can kind of resize things, but we still have that familiar little menu bar at the top. We can adjust some of those properties on what the user would actually see by selecting this. Let's stop this. Yeah, okay, here we go. And then at the very bottom of the report viewer controls properties, we can enable and disable various controls, like whether or not we allow export, the find controls, the page navigation, the print button, the refresh button, the zoom control. Okay, so we can turn all of that off, and so then the viewer can only see the report itself. So that's pretty neat. Okay, so we accomplished quite a bit in a very short period of time. We looked at how to build both tabular and matrix reports from scratch. In regards to the tabular report that we built, we added parameters to it. We added a header and footer section. Within the header and footer, we used the expression designer to display the report name and the page numbers. Put a line in the footer. We looked at using text boxes, and we used the text box and used the expression designer to display a total value. We put a logo on our report. We suppressed the header and the footer for the first page. We built our own matrix reports from scratch, even enabled the drill down capability. We looked at sorting and grouping the data within our reports. We built charts, and in this case a pie chart. We showed how to take a text field and how to adjust its properties so that it would hyperlink to other reports. And then finally we displayed a report within our report viewer control within an ASP.NET web page. But there's a lot more to learn. We're only really scratched the surface here. I did want to show you this resource. At the very beginning of the previous video, I showed you some reports that were actually from the AdventureWorks database, and I installed this SQL Server samples.msi, which gave me, let's see, let's find it here. If you drill down to program files and we look at SQL Server 90 samples, reporting services, report samples, AdventureWorks sample reports, and if you load that into Business Intelligence Development Studio by double-clicking the .sln file, you can see some of the techniques that they use to build some of those really neat reports off of that database. So take your time and inspect those. Look through each of them and see how did they actually go about configuring some of these things. For example, how do they get this to work with selecting a given employee and then having it display just the that single employee's yearly sales comparisons quarter over quarter? And then here's another interesting report about the sales detail, and how do they create like a receipt. And so some very neat techniques that I learned a lot from as I went through this, and I know you will too. All right, good luck and have a lot of fun writing reports.